Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to the end of the chapter. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All righty, praise the Lord. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. That is what blind people did back in the day. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Turn me down just a touch there, Ed, because I'm going to shout and I don't want to blast anybody out. But that guy was shouting. You know, one of the first sermons I ever did. And the word there to shout means scream like an animal. He was screaming with all he had. Jesus! Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. And so they get the picture. It's Jesus with his disciples in a crowd. And here's this guy screaming, blind guy, beggar, screaming, call him. They called him over. Jesus stopped and said, they called him over, cheer up, get on your feet, he's calling you, throwing his cloak aside. That's an act too, because, man, you slept in your cloak, it was your blanket, it was everything. He's throwing it aside, you're blind, somebody, there's a crowd of people, somebody walk off with it. Something more important was going on, amen? Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you, Jesus asked. He didn't say, I want a new cloak. He didn't say, I need some lunch. He didn't say, I need a new job. Didn't he say, I need a place to stay? And those are probably all very viable needs that this man had in his life. Amen? I could use a little change in my pocket. I could use 50 bucks. He said, Jesus, I want to see. That was his greatest need, his critical need. Let's go, Jesus said. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed Jesus. Along the road. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. We got problems, Lord. This man in the road had problems and cried out to you. We have problems in our lives, Lord, and sometimes we can't recognize them. Sometimes we look for solutions, Lord, that are not of you. Sometimes, Lord, they just get worse. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. We study about problems in Jerusalem, Lord. We talk about solutions, talk about taking ownership of our issues and stepping into change, Lord, and embracing you and finding fullness in life. Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for some extra time, an extra hour. But, Lord, we thank you that your patience, Lord, you enable us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, I took several of the youth. Pastor Dave and I picked up several of the youth for Joe's football game. Joe and Josh's football game. They had another one of the players here this morning. Dante Finucci. He doesn't look like a Dante Finucci to me, but that's not what we're talking about. But they played Francis Parker. And Francis Parker was 8-0. Horizon was not 8-0. Horizon was not 7-1, 6-2, 5-3, but 4-4. And you look at this schedule and you can think, whoa, we have a problem here. And then Joe came home one day and said, oh, man, our nose tackle, number 99, some of you guys been to the games, Hack, what's his first name? Luke Hack. Got so many tackles, out with a concussion. And you'd be thinking, oh man, 8-0. Starting nose tackle, number 99, out with a concussion. We could have a problem. And then Joe said, and then the second string nose guard. His name is Joseph May, Joe's good buddy, is out of town. He's saying, oh no, Francis Parker, 8-0. Starting nose guard. Out with a concussion. Second string nose guard. Out of town. We could have a problem. And then during the game, number 74, what's his name? Kalen Wood Warlow. It's a hard name to say. Third string nose guard goes out with a concussion. 8-0. First string gone. Second string gone. I don't even know if we had a fourth string. But it became apparent we had a problem. Final score, 42-19. Problem. Starting a new series, beginning to build. We have been studying from the book of Esther. Talk about the kingdom of Persia. We looked at two main characters in that, Queen Esther and Mordecai, who was an official at the king's gate, both of Jewish origin, and they did an assessment in their lives. And they found out that where they were going was not where they really wanted to be. Maybe that's happened in your life. Choices that you've made, plans that you've made. All of a sudden, you see where you're headed, and you're going, that is not where I want to go. Got to make some change. Amen? Amen. We had been looking at Esther, and we're going to jump ahead 30 years. We had been looking at the capital of Persia, the city of Susa. And the king that took Esther as his queen was King Xerxes, and his son, not Esther's son, but his son was Artaxerxes. And as we take a look at the book of Nehemiah, Artaxerxes is the king. His father was killed by one of the officials of court. Reigned 20 years. Artaxerxes reigned for 40 years and died a natural death. Very uncommon of those people. Nehemiah comes, we instead of focusing on Persia, we're going to beginning to focus on Jerusalem, the people of God. As we take a look at that, we realize that there are problems. Things are not as they should be. The walls are down. The structure of their lives, there is no protection from their enemies. Walls are down. And the people are living in disgrace. And that disgrace, you know what disgrace is. People living in disgrace. People living in sin. So we're talking about two issues. We're talking about that outside structural protection that we have in our lives. And we're talking about that inward integrity. And there was a problem on both aspects in Jerusalem. And I'm wondering this morning how you're doing. Because some of you are doing great. You see where you're headed. You're liking what you're doing. You're making some changes. And change doesn't come easy. Amen? Amen? I mean, the Lord comes, speaks into your heart, gives you the opportunity for change, opens the door, but you still got to step through that. That's right. And just like in Jerusalem, when we take a look at, there is that internal change. And sometimes we're just changing on the inside. And our outside is a mess. Can I get a witness on that? And I'll tell you what, we are surrounded by people whose outside looks nice and rosy. Nice houses, nice jobs, nice cars. But inside, disgrace. Rotten on the inside. So we take a look at beginning to build. And I thought appropriately the title for today's message is A Time for Change. Time for change could be today. Amen? All right, let's take a look. Head back to Nehemiah now. You can flip back in your Bibles if you want. It's about 2/3 through the Old Testament, but I will read it to you. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. And we take a look at the city of God, and we take a look at a city that is in reconstruction. It is being reconstructed because it was destroyed by the invasion of the Babylonians in 586 BC. Now, that was over 100 years previously. And I don't want to get in. I debated on doing this timeline. I don't want to confuse you. But so I'm just going to cut it short and say that now Esther, we've been looking at, was 30 years earlier. 13 years earlier, Ezra, the priest, you've heard of Ezra, Nehemiah. It's like the first part of this Ezra-Nehemiah combo book, which we're just kind of looking at the Nehemiah part. We're going to take a look at a little bit of Ezra. Ezra went to reestablish worship in Jerusalem. Artaxerxes sent him and commissioned him to do that. He had been funded by Artaxerxes. He was given $20 million by today's standard. I checked the silver price on Friday. $20 million worth of silver. Not bad, amen? He was given $160 million worth of gold. Now, that could affect some pretty good change. Can I get a witness on that? So he's going back and doing all this stuff. And this guy, Hakaliah, comes back. And his brother, Nehemiah, says, so how are things with the folks, man? How is things back in Jerusalem? How's things back in the city of God? This is not good. See, Ezra had gone back, and he had all these resources, and he ran into some serious problems. Ezra chapter 9. And a lot of Ezra has to do with rebuilding the temple that happened again another 60 years before that, not to confuse you. So Ezra 9, he's showing up to Jerusalem, and he says, after these things have been done, the leaders came to me and said, and here's Ezra showing up with a boatload of silver and a boatload of gold. I mean, probably maybe like a caravan full of silver and gold, not a boat. But a bunch. Amen? You tracking with me? And the leaders of the city come to him and say, we got a problem. Here's the problem. The people of Israel, including the priests, including the Levites were like the lay leaders, have not kept themselves separate from the neighboring peoples with their detestable. Say that word with me, detestable. Those are not the favored practices of God. Amen? Detestable. If I ask my son what is detestable, he would say vegetables are detestable. There are actions that are detestable to God. That is what the priests and the lay leaders, the Levites, were doing in the day. They have not, and they led all the other people into these practices, combining with their neighboring peoples, with the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. They have taken some of their daughters as wives, their sons. They have mingled the holy race with the people around them, and the leaders and officials have led the way in this unfaithfulness. So Ezra shows up with all this cash, the ability to do reconstruction, and runs into detestable practices from top to bottom. And identifies, I mean, you can take a look at the end of Ezra, and there's a list of all the people that had married off. And Moses said, don't marry these people. Because if you marry them, and if you give your sons in marriage and your daughters in marriage, they're going to lead them to follow foreign gods. And that's what's happening. And Ezra shows up with all this cash and finds problems. Lives in disarray. And he identifies it all, finds a problem, identifies the change, and nothing happens. You can't change and stay the same. Amen? We can want change. Oh, please, let me change. Ain't gonna happen. Change don't happen until you step into it. Amen? All right. People living in disgrace. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province. This is the report that Nehemiah gets. The people who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. The people are living in disgrace, brother. Not good. Problems identified by Ezra 13 years earlier are still going on. All that money that came in, nothing changed. Reforms were met with resistance. You got a change that needs to happen in your life. Guess what? There's going to be resistance against it. Amen? If there wasn't any resistance, you would have already made the change. And you would be thinking, I got a problem. No, you'd be thinking, I got a problem with so much change. See, it's not like the Canaanites, Perizzites, Hittites, Ammonites, Amorites are just going to roll over. And the people in your life, when they say, whoa, what is this change? Hey, that's having an impact on me. I'm going to resist that change. Have you found that to be true? Your old party buddies are saying, hey, wait, you're my main connect. What's up with that? Who am I going to party with? Who am I going to thieve with? I can't have you change because it's going to have an impact on me. And that's what the Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Amorites, Ammonites, that's what they were all thinking. And God's people did not change. And they stayed in their problems. Walls were down. Gates were burned. You see, Ezra started doing some rehab. And they're thinking, wow, look at the new walls we got. Look at the new gates we got delivered up. And those Hamorites, Perizzites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Ammonites, they start playing a little politics, and they sent a letter to Artaxerxes and said, hey, these guys are doing what you don't want them to do. There's some turmoil in Egypt and turmoil in Syria. And Artaxerxes says, let's just put this on hold. And those Ammonites, Perizzites, Kittites, Jebusites, they tore the walls down. They burnt up the gates. $180 million worth of stuff. Land in disarray. There are people that will come and attack the stability of your life. Because that's what those walls were. They had a religious revival that was going on. They were connecting with God. They had worship happening in the temple. But without those walls, without those gates, there was no protection. And it all just kind of fell flat. If you're going to step into change, it's going to take great effort on your part. Amen? Dave, come on up here. Dave has been with us. How long have you been with us, Dave? Like 6 months? And his girlfriend, Trina, Trina was, you got to talk about something in the tape, bro, so Trina can hear. Trina, that's what I'm saying. I know, Trina, okay. Try not to offend you, Trina. But she came here for like a year, and you would never come in. Talking to my, hold it up there. You'd never come in. You'd be sitting outside. Nah, I'm not ready. And she left. A couple of months later, you started coming in. Things started getting better. You were near homeless.
Yeah.
And
some friends stepped up, gave me a place to stay for a couple months.
And then that kind of washed out.
And
then you ended up at St. Vincent's?
St. Vincent's for a while.
That was for like 6 months, 4 months? And then you left there, and things were looking kind of dire, right?
Real bad.
And it would have been easy to kind of head back the old way.
Yeah, very easy.
And kind of start.
Temptations right there. Best friend.
All right there, right? And see, you're stepping to change. You gotta work it out. You gotta keep on stepping. You gotta keep on grabbing on. And so you had a little bit of money that you had been working real hard for, and you stayed at a hotel for a week, right?
Spent every cent.
Every cent gone, right? Even got a little help from Trina, right? Stayed for the last night?
Stayed for one more night, yeah.
Then you start sleeping on a couch again.
Back on the couch.
Now, in all that, see, it's like walls, right? got no stability. And when you got no stability on the outside, that stability that happens on the inside begins to get tested. And so, hotel was gone. You start sleeping on a couch for like 3 days. And then now you got a new place.
Thanks to God, for one.
Amen.
I got a couple good brothers and sisters in here that stepped up.
You're staying with who?
With Mike and Eva.
Mike and Eva, right? And they knew and about your financial situation, able to make that work. And so now you've got stability. But they're also looking to move. So a lot of times, our walls, they're going to take tending. You're going to have to work on those walls because you know what? There's challenges that come down the road, and the Lord wants us to grow inside, and the Lord wants us to grow outside. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Make you strong.
Amen. That's how you get strong, by going through challenges. Glory to God. All right. Number two, time to get some help. Dave talked about getting some help. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive to, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servant, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself, and my father's house have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. We face problems with our position. Dave had problems with his position, and realistically, much of those problems fall right on his shoulders. Mike and Eva stepped in to help him out, but he had to rally in there and keep it together and make it to that open door. Amen?
Amen?
Nehemiah says, I need some help. You're going to make a change in your life? You're going to need some help. Amen? If you didn't need help, you would have already made the change. You'd already be fixed. But you come to a point where you realize that your problem is bigger than you. That your problem is bigger than your capacity to solve it, that you are powerless in your situation, and that you must turn someplace other than yourself. And that's so hard. We usually find that out through trial and error. Can I get a witness on that? I can handle this. I can do this. I can do that. And usually, well, if it works, you're not in a problem. But when it don't work, it usually pushes the problem back a little bit. And sometimes when you face it again, it just makes it worse and worse and worse. Can I get a witness on that? And so there is that element of that step that you got to take that just say, man, I am out of control. I can't fix this. And I'm going to need some help to fix it. That's what Nehemiah does. And Nehemiah makes the right choice because he goes to God for a solution. He was cupbearer to the king. He could have gone right to the king, but he goes to the King of Kings. Amen? And I hope you've discovered that is indeed the right choice. You go to the King of Kings, and he starts off with, well, a little bit of praise, but he gets to confession. That confession is, God, I have messed up. Now, I want to let you know, God already knows that. He says, finally, you figured that out. He already knows it, but it is a great way to start the conversation off. You know, a lot of people will start that prayer. Oh, it's the Canaanites. It's the Perizzites. It's the Hittites. It's the Jebusites. Fix them, Lord. Not Nehemiah. He says, I confess our sins. I confess my sins. I confess the sins of me and my father's house. And when you need change, when you realize that you have problems, confession is the way to own them. They're my problems. I got to find a place to stay. I got to find a car to drive. I got to find a job. I got to find a way to get along with my spouse. I have to find a way to control my temper. I have to control my mouth the way I speak. I got to get a handle on my drug use. I got to get a handle on my violence in my life. Can I get a witness on that from anybody? When you're ready for change, find a way to fit God in. Because going alone ain't going to get you home. Amen? See, we have opportunities with God. He says, and Nehemiah's in a good spot. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses. The reason I say Nehemiah's in a good spot is because he remembers what, or he knows what God told Moses. He is familiar with the ways of God. He says, we have sinned. Bible tells us when you sin, God will become angry with you. Oh, no. We serve a loving God. He doesn't get angry. There you look back, Deuteronomy 7 says, hey, when you do that, I'm going to get angry. See, sometimes you start sinning. You start disregarding what you should do, and God will sometimes just take his hand right off you. How many people know that's a scary thing? Yes. Amen? God's hand of protection, God's hand of provision. He's like, you're on your own. But even more than that, sometimes God's hand will be against you. Now that's even worse than his hand being off you. Amen? See, Babylon came in and destroyed the temple because God's hand was against his people. I don't know what your problem is. Is God's hand off you or is God's hand against you? It's good to know. Nehemiah knew. He says, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses saying, if you are unfaithful, if you are doing detestable things, if you are in sin, I will scatter you among the nations. And Nehemiah is saying, we're scattered. But if you return to me, he's saying, remember this, God? He says, I wrote it. I remember it. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I'll gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chose as a dwelling for my name. It is good to know your options. Find out you got a problem. It is good to be aware of the solutions that are available to you. Nehemiah quotes the words of Moses, and he says, our current problem is because of our sin. Our current problem is because of the anger that you have towards your people when they sin, and we are ready to stop. Let me say that again. And we are ready to stop. Thank you for that. Yes, I thought I might get an amen on that. Nehemiah is saying, we're messed up because we messed up. And that is such a great position to be in. It's not the Canaanites, Perizzites, Hittites, Jebusites. It's us, Lord. We have sinned. Nehemiah says, we want to get right. We want to turn back to you, and we are wanting you to restore us, Lord. We're ready. You want change today? You're going to have to step into it. God will open the door. Jesus will open the door for you. That blind man sat out on the street screaming, Jesus! Door was open. He had to step into it. All kinds of people saying, don't go, don't go! Shut up! I'm stepping through that door. It was about 25 years ago. I had been loaded for 15 years straight. And I know for some of you that's short. But I'm glad it was only 15. I wish it was 5. I wish it was none. But I realized that I had a problem. I realized that I needed change. I realized that the problem was my fault. That I messed up, and I was messed up because I messed up. And I asked the Lord, I was walking down the street in Sacramento, I said, Lord, I've messed up my life, you can have it. Bam, he came into my heart. And that began a year, about a year, of trying to learn how to live sober. See, See, God came in and transformed my heart, but my walls were down. So I joined a gym. I go to the gym 2 times a day because I had to do something other than drink. Amen? I mean, you got to start building some walls. I went to church every time I could because, see, I was detestable. And I had no walls. And so I was working on the walls, and I was working on filling up my soul with the Word of God. I don't know where you're at today. But I tell you what, it was hard. I was talking to Yuseli on Friday. There was a lady at the food distribution. I said, Yuseli. She's about Yuseli's age. I said, how long have you been coming to church now? You said, 6 years, right? Forever. She said, it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's worth it. You're going to step into change? It's going to take some effort, or you'd already have it done. All right, last thing. Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Nehemiah approaches the king. In the month of Nisan, not a truck, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed with fire? Nehemiah's heading before the king, which apparently he did a lot because he took him his wine, and Xerxes loved his wine. I got to think his son loves his wine too. But he was sad. And just like Esther was afraid when she went before Xerxes, uninvited. There is a risk when you want to make change. It takes effort and it's a challenge. Step into change, you're going to have to take a risk. There wasn't a risk. If it wasn't a challenge, you would already be changed and there would be no problem. Amen?
Amen.
Notice that this is the month, I got to look a little behind the scenes here, month of Nisan. I looked at the calendar. The other month was Kislev. There's 3 months there. 3 months of praying. 3 months of fasting. And as we will see, 3 months of planning. Nehemiah went before the king, and he had a clue. You're going to step into change? You're going to have to own some of that. You're going to have to get a vision where you want to go. God will open the door, but you got to step through. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's finish this up. A vision for the future. The king said to me, what is it you want? Just like that man, just like Jesus said to that man, what is it you want? I want to see. He says, I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah, that's Jerusalem, where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it. He didn't go before the king and said, I don't know, king. I'm just sad. 3 months. Set it up. You can go before the Lord in your prayers and just weep. The Lord is not going to drag you along the road. Lord, I'm so messed up. I know. I'm seeing you, son. What do you want to do? I'll guide you, but I won't carry you. Nehemiah said, I want to go back and I want to rebuild that city. Goes on to say, what do you need? He says, man, I need letters of transport. I got to get through all the checkpoints along the way, and they'll stop me if I don't have letters from you. King's going, okay. He says, I need letters to the keeper of your forests. because I got to get wood to rebuild this city and to build my house. You know, hey, you just set up a house, you just set up the Lord's house, you set up the walls. God's got no problem taking care of you. God's got no problem taking care of you. Amen? It's okay to ask for a house. He says, I need letters of passage. I need wood. And Artaxerxes says, you know what? We'll send you to Calvary too. Because you can get killed along the way. And you know what? Sometimes you don't think about the whole thing. You don't get it all right. And God will fill in the gaps. That's right. But God's not going to fill in everything. Jesus said, narrows the gate, narrows the road. And that is a road that we walk down. And so many of us get to the narrow gate and we're waiting like there's a bus going to come. God ain't got no bus. God says, you walk, I'll walk with you. You walk, I'll straighten, I'll get the pebbles out the way. Come to the Lord, and we got a clue. What do you want? I want to see. He could have got off with lunch. Lord, Lord, I just need some lunch. Give this guy some lunch. See ya. And he goes back begging and blind. What do you do with your platform before God? See, you want change. How much change can you handle? God says, you want change? You step into it. How big can you handle? Jerusalem's walls were down. As we will see, their enemies were coming in over. I know they were marrying their enemies. They had their enemies in their homes. They had detestable practices as they came into their homes. They brought their idols. They brought their worship. They brought all the things that angered God, and God took his hands off. My question for you is, where are you at today? Have you got a problem? Do you need to change? Is it time to start to build? Because today is the day to change. Time to change. Change the clocks. Let's not change them back. Let's change them forward. Let's make some new change. At least you can come up and play. Now, some of you are in the midst of change, and I celebrate what's going on with Dave, who's down barbecuing for you guys right now, by the way. I celebrate that Mike and Eva are able to help him out. And you know what? He's carrying his weight. He's paying part of the rent. You know what? Walking with God is not just a free ride. Your salvation is free. But everything else is all you got. Jesus says, hey, give me your life, I'll give you one. He's not talking about holding anything back. So maybe you come in here today and you're saying, boy, I could just use a little bit of energy because I got the change going and whew, it's good. But maybe you got a problem with walls. You've been coming around for a while. You know the Lord. Lord's doing some great things. But the structure of your life is unchanged. You're still hanging with the Perizzites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Ammonites. They see your change and they're pulling back on you day after day after day. What are you doing? And you're in a struggle because you have no walls. God wants you to have walls. Maybe you come in here and your walls are just fine. Your income is good. You got a decent place. You got a job. You got a car. But inside, some of those detestable practices going on. Outside looks good, but you're rotten on the inside. Time to change. Time to be like Nehemiah. Spend some time here. Get here on Wednesday night. Pastor Paul going through the book of Revelation. Get in the book. Know what's in the book. Nehemiah knew what was in the book and how it related to him. You need to know how the book relates to you and your situation so you can know your options before God. So you're going to change? You've got to step into it. God says, where do you want to go? You've got to have a clue. Maybe you come in here today. Your walls are down and your insides are rotted and you are just like Jerusalem. You think, there is no hope for me. But God didn't turn his back on Jerusalem. Sent Nehemiah, and the walls got rebuilt, and the sin got dealt with, and it became the city of God. And Jesus came and made a sacrifice there that transformed you and me. Amen? Amen. And so you come in here today, and your insides are rotted, and your walls are down. God's not going to turn his back on you. But you have got to realize that you have got a problem this morning. You say, oh Lord, help me. I'm so messed up. That's what I did. Changed me in an instant. And it took me a year to catch up. Step into change. It's going to take some effort. Amen. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you're mighty and awesome. Knowing that you are glorious, Lord. That you meet us in this place, Lord. Your name is revered, Lord, and you have called your people here this morning, Lord. People that you love, but perhaps some that you are angry with, Lord. Perhaps some that you have taken your hand of protection away. Perhaps some that you hold your hand against them, Lord, that you might let them know that there's a problem. 42 to 19. No doubt, there was a problem. There's going to come a day of judgment. Pastor Scott talked about it. Don't get to that day without realizing that there's a problem. Come here this morning, and the Lord is saying, son, daughter, my child, you have got a problem. I got change that's available. I got a door that's open. Are you ready to step into it? Nobody looking around. You're saying, Lord, Lord, I did not realize. I'm afraid, just like Nehemiah was afraid, just like Esther was afraid. But Lord, I cannot live in this problem anymore. I want to step into change. Today is the time for change. And I'm ready. I won't find out. I'm going to move into it. Nobody looking around. Your walls are down. Your insides aren't right. Maybe you got both. And you want to make a change. You say, Lord, here I am. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to take a while. Thinking, you sell these 6 years, hardest thing she ever done, but it's worth it. Lord, I want to do that. I want to make a change. Don't be looking around. I just want you to reach your hand up just like you're reaching to God. Say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Reach down from heaven and grab my hand. Grab my hand. Guide me into it, Lord. Guide me to that. I'll start walking. I'll start running. I'll start working. I'll do all the things that are necessary for me to be transformed. I don't need you to carry me, Lord. But, Lord, I reach out my hand to know that I'm not alone. I see this hand right here. Here, this hand and this hand and this hand. All kinds of hands over here. You can put your hands down. I've seen you. It was near a year later. I was sitting on a Wednesday night. Preacher was preaching and God was speaking right to my heart. It took me a year to figure it out. He said, I want you to just stand to your feet where you're at. And I was going, No way. And I didn't stand. He said, I'm going to pause for just one more moment. Maybe for you. And that was for me. So right now, God's just heavy, heavy on you. And you did not put your hand up before. You're saying, oh, Lord, I don't want to leave here in the same. I want to change. I'm willing. Didn't put your hand up before, but right now, Lord, just speak and say, this is for you, child. Just raise your hand up. Say, that's me, Lord. Here. There and there. You didn't put your hand up before. You don't have to put it up again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Lord, I thank you for each of these, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave me standing on the street in Sacramento 25 years ago and saying, you loser. 25 years still on the mend. Lord, that these that have raised their hands, Lord, willing to take steps, maybe get involved in that Monday night program, get involved in the Wednesday night program, get involved, the people of God start looking good, looking better, being better. We're going to stand. Lisa's going to sing. The worship team is coming. And I want to pray with you. You want to pray that change. Invite you to just come on up, and we will pray and see God do it. If not, just stand, and we're going to sing. Amen? Amen.